So thanks, Jeff, for the introduction.
I've got my notes here. That's why I have my computer here, because I'm going to forget what I'm supposed to say. Because I'm not like a big-time trainer who sits up here and does this. So I get nervous and I'm going to forget stuff, so it's all up here. Okay? And so please bear with me with that. Let's see. So logistics, we'll go for about 40 minutes and then we'll take a break. Take 10 minutes. There's restrooms downstairs. You go down the stairs and to the right. It's just there. And then we'll come back from the break and go up till about 8:30. Okay. Let's see. What else do I have to say here? Okay. The other thing I want to mention is that James used the word trainer. I just want to clarify that I'm not a certified NVC trainer. I'm someone who's been studying this and loving this model for the users in my own healing work, in my own growth. And so there are people who are certified trainers, and I'm not one of those. I just want to be really stay true to the agreements I have with the NVC community. So I just want to say right now I'm feeling a little awkward. I've been practicing this for a long time, and I'm not sure how to pull it together, and it's okay. So that's part of this model, too, is that it's okay to feel what we're feeling, right? So this isn't a moment that I need to run away from. It is a moment I'm awkward in, and it's okay to be awkward. So I want to invite that we can all feel what we're feeling in the room right now. There's going to be a mix of feelings, and it's okay. Why? Feels a lot better. Do you all feel better too now? So, I feel better saying that. I'm going to be taking a lot of deep breaths, especially when I feel really nervous. So let's see. Okay, I've got to advance the slides there. And that's how it works. There we go. Gratitude. So I just want to say thank you to Lauren over here, especially. For doing a lot of legwork, setting up the flyers, nudging me towards getting my slides and my work complete, or else I'll be forever in creativity mode, and being a gentle coach to get it to come to what it is today. Want to thank the board here and our director who's not here for the trust in having me sit up here. And I want to thank all my teachers who are not here too. With that, I'd like to start a meditation. Who here has meditated in the last month? Show of hands. Okay. So, thank you. I'll ring the bell. We'll go about between 5 to 10 minutes. And then I'll talk us through some instructions and then bring us back with the bell. So we can begin by just feeling our weight in the chair or on the cushion. Just noticing where our bodies make contact with whatever surface we are contacting. It could be your feet, your legs, your seat, your back. Just noticing any sensations that you notice. It could be the temperature of the room. There may be some sweat. Maybe feeling pressure, tension, ease. Just letting everything be as it is right now. And then bringing attention to your breath. Just letting your breath be as it is. bringing attention to the top of your head. Just noticing if there's any sensations there. Moving attention to your forehead. Noticing warmth or coolness, tingling, pressure, tension, relaxation. Pulsing. Moving attention to your eyes. There may be soreness, tightness, ease, tiredness. Just letting everything be as it is, just noticing. Nothing to do. Noticing your chin, your jaw. Noticing your throat. Your shoulders. And if you get caught up in thinking, it's totally okay. Just gently bring attention back to where we are in the body, to the shoulders. And if it's uncomfortable to notice the sensations you're in contact with, notice the space around in the room, the space, the silence, stillness that is comforting. Just rest there. Moving attention to your upper arms and your lower arms. Noticing any sensations, pulsing, tingling, warmth, coolness. To your hands. Letting your breath be as it is. Bring your attention back up to your shoulders and down to your chest. Notice if there are any sensations of the breath that you can see or feel in your chest. The rib cage expanding and contracting. Bring your attention down to your belly. Simply noticing how the breath moves your belly. Noticing your pelvic area. Noticing the pressure in your seat, maybe the underside of your thighs. Just simply letting your breath enter that area to the extent that it's comfortable and okay to do so in this moment. Moving attention to your thighs. tops of the thighs, the bottom of your thighs, the sides. Noticing any contact with clothes or surface. Noticing your knees, especially the bottoms of your knees. And then the lower legs, and the feet. Then bring your attention to your whole body. Just noticing what your breath is doing. Feeling less nervous and less awkward now. That's good. It's a good start. Okay, I better move this forward. It's the wrong way. So just starting to talk about nonviolent communication, its founder is Marshall Rosenberg. He passed away in 2015. So NVC, short for nonviolent communication, was a tool that he created. And basically, as I read it, he was in touch with this, what he called the divine energy in himself, and he studied clinical psychology, and he was not happy with clinical psychology because it talked a lot about pathology, and it wasn't about really about this energy that he was feeling. So he went on the search, and he explored comparative religions, and he went and studied with Carl Rogers and the humanists, and through his explorations came nonviolent communication. So the key distinction I want to draw here is between NVC, the objective, and the tool. Okay, so let's see, that's not very clear. Let's try that one. Okay. So NVC, there's what's called the consciousness. So it's a big word to use, or we could say the energy, a state of mind, whatever you want to call it. And there's a certain consciousness. So according to what I read, basically in us we have an innate empathy, an innate generosity, an innate kindness and compassion. And that's sort of what this consciousness signifies. And we have a hard time staying in that place. Because of, it could be a lot of factors, right? We're stressed, we hear judgment, we feel threatened, we feel attacked, and so on. And we don't stay in this consciousness. So for Marshall, he created NVC as a way, as a tool, to get to the state of consciousness. And so for him, it was an experience of God when he could be in this consciousness in himself and connect with others. So for him, it was a spiritual practice. So today, as we look at the mechanics of NVC, which, you know, there's steps, and we focus on this, we do step 1, 2, 3, and da-da-da-da-da. I just want to remind us that it really is in service of this consciousness, which obviously I cannot describe. I mean, I can describe, but it has to be experienced, right? So some of the qualities that Marshall talks about, this consciousness, is, so here he's saying basically it's more than just a communication process, it's basically towards a certain spirituality. And the qualities of the spirituality that I find really interesting are the fact that when you get to that place what we really enjoy doing is contributing to others. It's just this place of natural generosity, which just is there in all of us. It always exists, but we lose touch with it. And so through this, so Marshall uses this Buddhist parable of taking the boat from one shore to the other shore, to wherever you want to go. And so NVC is that boat that gets us to closer to the consciousness we want to get to, which is already there in us. We don't create it, it exists. And when we get to the other shore, we can let the tool go, right? The objective is this consciousness, not the tool itself. But once we get there, our natural generosity, we are in touch with it, and it's just giving just brings us joy. The other quality is that violence is not possible because we are really seeing the humanity in the other person, and we are feeling our own humanity too. So it's really hard to see the other person as the other. And we have this thing of going, oh my God, I can finally see them through this image I had of them, where I may see them as somehow, you know, not smart enough or not kind enough, or all my judgments, right? The judgments drop away and I can actually see, oh my God, there's a human being there and they're like me. And that's the beauty of that consciousness, is that we get free from these judgments and everything, and it's a much better way to live. So that's what attracts me to it. Is the other thing too here is it's also about healing my judgments of myself, right? So when I judge myself as being lazy, awkward, not very good at so many things, it's like how this tool has given me a way to translate those judgments into more of a human connection with myself. And that's the beauty of it. It takes work. Again, the mechanics are one thing. When we put it into practice to cultivate this consciousness, that is the real work, right? When the rubber meets the road is when we take this beautiful model that Marshall's created and try to live it and to practice it. So, make sure I got... Okay. So, again, now we're talking about the mechanics of NVC. So the model has these four steps. The key elements of the model are observations, feelings, needs, and requests. So so normally, what at least I was taught growing up is that if somebody does something that I don't like, say I'm supposed to meet a friend for coffee and they show up late, what I generally do as a habit is I get angry at them, I get annoyed with them, I judge them and imagine, oh, they're so inconsiderate, they're so self-centered, they don't care about me, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All the judgments start flying out internally at least, if not externally. When they show up, those judgments are in my system. But I will pretend I'm okay and I'll interact with them, right? But what happens is in that kind of a place, I cannot really connect with this person, right? The original intention was to have this person there so I could actually enjoy a connection with them. Instead, what I'm doing is I'm sitting with my stuff. So this model gives me a chance to shift out of the judgment, right? So what NVC says is, if we go sticking judgments, here's a way to get out of it. So what NVC says is, notice your feelings. What am I feeling, right? So if I focus, instead of focusing on judging this person and saying bad, bad, bad in so many different ways, wrong, 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 all her fault or his fault, if I shift to how am I feeling about what happened, right? So when I shift to the feelings, again, another trap that happens out there in the way that we're taught about feelings, we're really not educated, well, I should say, I wasn't educated with a feeling vocabulary. What I got instead was a good vocabulary of judgments and ideas about how people should be, right? So then I get, that's another hindrance to really connecting with what's in my heart, right? If I can go to my heart, then the other person can hear my heart. If I go to my judgments, the other person's going to be like, no, right? The war is going to start. So, I mean, and the war has already started in me. So to get to the feelings, what it takes often in this model is to distinguish between our thinking and our feelings. So in that instance, if I can sit there and go, okay, what am I feeling? Oh, I'm pissed. You know, I'm angry. It's her fault. This approach says, okay, all of that is thinking. what am I really feeling, you know? And there's a whole set of feeling words which I'll hand out, but in this approach, I try to get to, wow, I'm feeling frustrated, I feel hurt, I feel angry, I feel annoyed. So when we get to that range of our experience, it really takes the energy out of the judgments, okay? It's not an easy thing to do, because at least for me, I notice there's a part of me that won't let go of the fight, that wants to fight. So it's not about getting rid of the fight. That's again a form of, I think, violence, when we have to, like, forcing ourselves to be a different way. So, but at the same time, just connecting with, what am I really feeling in that instance, right? So if I can connect with truly, and it's a vulnerable step, right? Like, I, even just talking about it, I feel it. If I can go to, like, wow, I feel scared, you know, that could be the most true one. Like, I feel scared, actually, when this person doesn't show up, right? And, one second, Ajay. When I can connect with that feeling and just stay with it, it's vulnerable, it's more difficult than staying in my judgment, but if I follow the model and just stay with that feeling, and then try to connect with what needs of mine were met or not met by what's happening. And I'll give you a list of needs, but if I can connect it down to my needs, as in, I have a need for, it could be something like safety, it could be a need for consideration, it could be a need for to be seen, to matter, you know, it could be a whole host of needs. But do you notice a shift in the energy as I do that, as opposed to bad, wrong, it's your fault, and now I'm coming back to, like, wow, you know, like, I'm hurt, and I have this need, and I'm scared, and when I can connect it down to my needs, what it does is it takes the energy out of the judgments, the blame, the shame, all of that stuff. And then when I'm really connected to my needs, I have a chance of actually expressing to my friend, you know, a request. Because if I go with the original state of, like, da-da-da, you know, like, sugarcoating it, using all nice words, but internally holding the blame, she's going to feel it. We've all had that experience, right? Somebody's saying something, and we can feel that something is not right there. But, and if I, yeah, and so, if I can get to the level of the needs and express it as, you know, actually a key step I forgot to mention is the observation. So the observation is, what is it that happened? So NVC asked me to get really clear, what is the event that happened? Because if somebody said what happened, I would say, so-and-so came late and, you know, they're always late and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, all this stuff. And we say, okay, so slow down, what exactly happened, right? So trying to be as specific as possible. So it may come up with something like, hey, when we agreed to meet at 3 o'clock and you came at 3:30, or something like that, right? It's very specific, it's very neutral. So if I can approach my friend and say, hey, you know, this is what happened, this is how I feel, and I'm noticing I really have a need for this, would you be willing to, whatever it is the request is, it could be that, hey, could you send me a message or let me know next time? That way, now I'm restoring connection with my friend, you know, and I'm giving this person an opportunity to contribute to me, and I think the cup of coffee is going to go way better, you know. But if I just use the fancy wording with the war still going on inside me, yeah, Randy's laughing, it's really painful, you know. And that's a part of the learning process. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just part of the learning. I've done that, I do that, and I never, like, get to this perfect place. It's a process of learning and practicing to get to this place where I can actually relax and the war goes out of me, and it's more about this request and saying, hey, you know, this is what's happening, you know, in a way that she can hear it or he can hear it. Is that something, Jay?
Yeah, so this example is very learned for me. So if somebody's late, the first thought that comes to my mind is I feel disrespected.
Right.
But it did, after the NVC training, I know that feeling disrespected is not a feeling. It's a judgment.
Right.
Because in English, you know, you do a lot of judgments using the word feeling. I feel disrespected, I feel used, I feel all of that, but those are not actual feelings.
I feel disrespected, all the things are, like, abandoned.
you know, lots of things, right? So in our default culture, we have basically things that pass for feelings. And what NBC suggests is... Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I use these words all the time too, right? So I, you know, even while practicing for this course, I'm sitting and going, what am I feeling? Oh, I'm feeling angry because they did something. So what NBC says is, when we attribute the cause of our feelings to other people's actions, so this whole idea that, you know, you caused my feeling, which then puts us sort of in this place of powerlessness, where we are now, you know, it's over there. And these words, and so this, Marshall says, this is a way that our language is conditioning us to keep this belief that others are responsible for our feelings. So the first step in sort of moving to emotional freedom is taking it back and saying, no, our feelings come from our needs. Right? So when something happens out here, right? So there's some event outside. Something happens, but it could be that something doesn't happen that we want it to happen. Our needs are affected. Right, so this could be my friend coming late, and it doesn't have to be that I'm upset. It could be I'm happy because I'm relieved. I didn't want to actually hang out with this person. You know, it could be anything. Right, in the moment, it could change, but the event impacts our needs. And like, for instance, you all are here right now. You all had needs. That's why you all came here, right? And we'll get into the exploration of needs later, but. Going to what Jay was saying about, these are sort of, it's really important in this languaging to get clear about what's a feeling and what's not a feeling. Okay.
Anyone else have a comment or, okay. Okay. Let's see. Okay, some of the assumptions of this model are basically, so all human beings share the same needs. So so say for instance, so there's a distinction that NVC makes between
needs and strategies. So for instance, if I want to go to the beach,
right, and or go on a hike, that's how I have fun. And a friend of mine likes to go to the mall because that's how she has fun.
We are both meeting the same need, right? It could be a need for rest, for pleasure, right? But my strategy may be a hike, and his strategy may be the mall, right? So what that is saying is basically the conflicts happen at the level of strategies, not at the level of needs. So when we can move our attention from strategies to what are the needs we're trying to meet, then we are not fixated on this thing. Then we come out here and we have a broader perspective. Hey, how can I meet this need? Okay. And then the opportunities, different strategies open up that we can meet that core need. But if we stay here, then we lose that sort of the broadness of choices that could be available. You guys, any questions, comments? Okay.
Actually, I just emailed. Thank you. That's one of the best descriptions I've ever heard.
Really?
Differentiating from strategy for needs. I feel really appreciative.
Wow, thank you. Okay, that helps me relax a little bit more.
Awesome.
I'm telling myself the reason I'm anxious right now is because I really want this to be a good class for everyone, and I'll relax, I know. It's just natural.
Could you say more about strategies?
Sure. Did you have a particular context in mind, or?
Maybe just some concrete examples.
Okay.
I'm pretty comfortable in the feeling world, but I'm not exactly sure how you're using strategy. I'll make sure I'm interpreting my own.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. So strategies are actions we take to meet needs. So when we get to the level of, actually right there, so everything we do is to meet a need. So coming here, The place where we sit in the room is actually sort of an unconscious choice, but it could be that I feel more comfortable here than I feel over there, right? These are all strategies. So all these actions that we take to meet needs that are conscious or unconscious. And what I'll do is I'll pass out the sheet of needs, and I think it'll become more clearer.
So often their behaviors that we...
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And unfortunately, I didn't realize that oftentimes people say, or I would say, I have a need for XYZ. I have a need for you to do this for me. And that's actually a strategy, right? That is asking somebody to do something which would meet some underlying need. But given that our default training doesn't get us down to the level of what is it that I'm trying to actually satisfy? And we'll get into an exercise, and I'm hoping you'll see more. So all action. So in the NVC approach, a core assumption is everything we do, we're trying to meet a need, even being violent, right? So people doing things that we don't like, they are trying to meet a need, and conscious or unconscious. And oftentimes people are being violent because they don't recognize a better way to meet some of those needs. And so I love this because it reminds me of compassion. It takes me back to a compassionate place. I don't live these values myself. I need this to come back to that place where, you know, it's what I find this does for me is it neutralizes my judgments a lot more, and it makes other people more human. Oops, is that it? Oh, I thought I had one more. Okay, so Marshall says that even criticism and judgment, the way I read this is, when we criticize and judge other people, it's actually an expression of an unmet need. So if somebody comes late and I'm upset and I start judging, he says when you feel judgment, any of that stuff, there's typically an unmet need underneath. And this is just a tragic expression of that unmet need, is to judge. So what that allows is a possibility that I can go in and find that need, because that'll take the energy away from the judgment. So we touched on this here. The feelings point to the needs being met or not met, right? So when I have my needs are met, I have happy feelings. I feel good, you know. I feel good. I feel happy. I feel content. I feel relaxed. Blah blah blah. When needs are not met, there's a whole other spectrum of angry, disappointed, hurt, frustrated, and so on. We do an exercise around that after this. And this is a key thing. Feelings are triggered by, but not caused by others. So this is really important that we don't say that, oh, this is causing my feelings. No, this is impacting my needs. They're being met or not met by what happens, and that's what brings up my feelings. So I like this because I kind of see it tying into what the Dalai Lama is saying about when you think that it's someone else's fault, you will suffer. But when you realize that everything springs only from yourself, you will learn both peace and joy. So I take it to mean that bring it back. Don't put your experience into somebody else, because then you're setting yourself up for suffering. And bring it back into yourself. And so for me, bringing it back into myself is connecting my feelings to my own needs and taking responsibility. Okay. So let me give out the feelings and needs sheets and we'll do a little exercise. 7:15. Are you guys, how many people are too warm in the room right now? Two, you are. How many people are a little on the cool side?
It goes back and forth.
It does, yeah.
And then if you turn it down, it'll get way too
easy. Okay, all right.
I thought I was losing you. I felt it too.
We're going to get one. Ah, there you go. Come on. Okay. So at the top here, we have
so this is the sheet of paper. At the top, you have the needs. Right? You have a whole bunch of words there. And then below, you have feelings and emotions. And I know in other systems, feelings, emotions, there's a lot of, there's a different way of using those words, but play along right now, okay,
for the system.
And the first set here are when needs are met. You guys see that?
Yes.
So that's the first subsection. Then below that you see needs not met. Right.
So let's do a little exercise right now and take this for a test drive. Okay, so let's just explore what feelings and needs are in this room right now. Okay, so I'm just going to start off by throwing out some guesses. And so let's see, how many people here are feeling tired right now? Awesome. Not that you're tired, but thank you. How many people are feeling curious? Okay. How many people are feeling hopeful? Okay. Okay, so if you can look at the feelings on the bottom here, in the bottom section, this section here, and if you find something that you connect with, that you're feeling right now, can you throw out that word into the room?
Vulnerable.
Okay, great. How many people are feeling vulnerable right now? Thank you. So I'm just going to write these down. Anyone else?
Engaged.
How many people are feeling engaged?
Alive.
Anyone else feeling alive? All right.
And this is great, actually. So you may have noticed that I noticed some people put their hands up right away, and other people kind of sort of. And so that also points to that we do have a degree of that feeling, right? And there's a sort of a range of it, so we may feel it like at a, yeah, I've got a little bit of that, and other people are like, yeah, that's most of what I got is that feeling. So this is really a good thing. All right, anything else?
Appreciative. Yeah.
How many people?
Yeah.
Appreciative. Okay, cool.
Calm.
Any calm people out there?
Okay.
And if you haven't thrown a guess yet, go for it. This is part of the process.
Glad.
Glad.
Did you already put grateful?
No. Anyone feeling grateful?
So I'm curious to pause the exercise and see, what is it like to look at those words and make guesses? How does that impact you? And how does it impact you to hear other people's guesses or expressions of what they're feeling?
Good.
Good?
I kind of noticed that when I'm feeling positive, almost all of these, I could say, oh yeah, I'm feeling that and that. But when I've looked at the things not met,
uh-huh,
at times when something's happening, it's not like that. It's like there's one very specific,
yes,
one, which is kind of interesting.
You're saying that one is very strong. Is that
in
right?
In the negative.
Feeling
a negative.
Okay.
When I'm feeling a positive,
it's
like
generally
all of
it is. Yeah.
Almost.
So it sounds like that's interesting to you to notice.
It is interesting to me.
Yeah.
It's interesting to stop and really notice what I might be feeling.
Mm.
I had to take a second, like, oh, what is it?
Thank you. I think that's really important also. Is right now I'm feeling a little ungrounded and hurrying a little bit. But when I hear you say that, it's like, it's so important to make time and to create the space. It's not an easy thing to do, but to slow down, right?
Yeah.
And to actually slow down so we can actually even start feeling. And that we, yeah, and it's calming me down to even acknowledge that.
Yay.
Do y'all feel that too? And so it's so important to just, to have the space to slow down. Thank you.
I was hoping you'd feel that way soon.
Anything else people are noticing in doing this exercise? Connected with others. Great. Yeah. How many other people felt connected as, yeah, more of a sense of connection with people you may not know in the room right now, right? Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Just that they're all very positive feelings, and I don't know if that's just people's comfort level.
Right.
Things that
great
they're
question.
To share with.
Great question. So, was there something that you had that you could throw in there?
Need not be in it.
Or a feeling, an uncomfortable feeling. I guess right now I may be making you feel, I don't make you feel uncomfortable. You may be feeling discomfort right now with my putting you on the spot right now.
You're making me nervous.
There you go, thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's true, too.
And that's the thing with feelings, right? We can keep surfing all day. There's no end to it, right? So, yeah. But yeah, it's really important too that to acknowledge that there is a place of safety and trust when it's okay to reveal more. And then there is a time it's actually wise to be sharing at the right level that's right for you in the moment. And so here we are, some of us know each other, some of you have come here for the first time, so it's good that we're all taking care of ourselves. It's good, you know. Okay, anything else before we move to the needs? Okay. So, if you look down at the
top, there's a needs section. Right, so for instance, I just heard,
I don't know your name, but you said connection.
Kulia.
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 Kulia. Okay.
Connection, right? So we have a whole bunch of feelings in the room, and there's probably a lot more that we haven't named. But just for right now, we'll pause there and look at the needs, right? So what I heard was there was a need for connection that's being met. And I saw some hands go up, basically, just to see or hear what other people are feeling in the room right now meets our need for connection, to put it in the kind of, I don't know the right word, is canonical way or whatever. But that's a need that's being met right now. And it doesn't mean that everyone's need for connection is being met. There's some people whose needs for connection are being met right now. If you look at that list, do you see any other needs? Can you see some need of yours that is being met? Or not met, actually?
Learning.
Learning. Not met?
Being met.
Being met, okay. No, I mean, we've got to make space for it all, right?
The beauty of this model is not in like being someone in particular, but in actually connecting with what's actually going on in ourselves, because something pretty amazing happens at that point of time. So learning. Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Any other needs? Randy?
A need for power and competence and effectiveness.
Great. You have one? Do you have one?
Oh, no.
No, okay.
Okay. Michelle?
I need for nourishment, for like mental nourishment.
Mental nourishment. Anyone else?
Presence.
Cooperation?
Mm-hmm. And honesty.
Okay. Okay, so I just want to go through the room and see how many people connection need is being met. Okay. And look around too and see how others are doing here. Learning. Yeah. Power, competence. Mental nourishment. Presence. Cooperation. Honesty. And so you can see there's a whole bunch of a spectrum of needs, and also maybe you notice the intensity, right? Just like the feeling, somebody may have thrown out a word, a feeling word like alive, and you're like, I'm about 10% alive, but I've got some alive in me. I mean, you know what I'm saying, right? The intensity varies, right? Like, I feel some gratitude, I feel some nervousness, you know, and it's okay. That's this whole world that's out here, right? And we're just starting to go in there and start feeling and finding out what is going on, right? Same thing here, right? Each of these needs, we may have some, to some degree, I may be like, oh yeah, I got a 10%, just put a number on it. I get a little bit of a hit on connection, but I think the biggest one I've got is here. Do you have something, Kay? No, sorry. Was it a need for breath?
You scared her.
I'm trying.
No, it's funny you said that, because I started writing on the word contribution, because I was thinking, as people are sharing, I have a need for contribution, because I'm like getting things.
Beautiful.
That I'm not contributing.
Lovely.
So I was just taking notes to myself about
That's
it.
That's great. And this is the beauty, right? So this is the beauty of this approach, is as we are focusing our attention as a group onto our feelings and what we're really needing in this moment, Carrie suddenly realizing, wow, in this moment I really want to make a contribution to the group. Right?
Yeah, that's what I think.
And it just, and so how does it feel when you get connect with that desire or that need?
Well, it was exciting, because I was thinking about, you know, what what are ways that you can contribute that are really helpful to the group, versus,
right,
you know, I'm blurting something out and no one needs to hear because I feel like contributing right now. So I was kind of like doing like a mini journal on how to get that need met throughout.
Beautiful.
The day.
Yeah. And so in connecting with how, so Carrie, were you saying that you were feeling like you weren't contributing so much to the group, and that's what you're having a little bit of trouble?
Not that I needed to, but
right,
it was kind of a want to contribute.
Beautiful. So, yeah.
So now I'm not entirely clear what qualifies as a feeling and what doesn't, because it seems like disrespected and abandoned aren't feelings, but disconnected and lonely are.
Right.
And the distinctions are kind of blurred in my.
Yeah, I would agree that there can be some of those things which are a little bit of, it's hard to say, but one of the ways I judge it is, disconnected is an experience I'm having, which doesn't, I could be disconnected with people, things, myself. Whereas when I say, what is the other word?
Disrespected.
I'm attributing, this is my story of what somebody else is doing to me. Disrespected. Right? So this is saying, you, it's a big you.
I'm not respected.
Yeah, so you are doing this to me, so there is a big story in here, which isn't bad, right? It's just a story. So if I'm being disrespected, how am I feeling? You know, hurt, sad, frustrated, angry, right? So we can move into that world from there. Thank you.
Marshall says, feeling, whatever feeling you identify, you should be able to say, I am.
I am.
Like anger is a feeling, so I am angry. Sad is a feeling, I am sad.
So that's a way to clarify between
judgment,
the judgments and the feelings. Yeah.
So because then, with feeling disrespect, even though it's not a feeling, the need is the need for respect.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
And so when you're feeling all these feelings, and the need that's not getting met is respect.
So let me see if I got your question right. So are you asking if the feeling is disrespected, then the need is respect?
Yes, but the feeling that's not the feeling of disrespected, right? But what's coming, the need is respect, just in our culture say disrespected.
This is true,
but
right? Yeah.
Is respect.
And
we
but,
talk about the need, not,
yeah.
We don't talk about the need. We talk about what the other person is doing to us.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so there is something that happens, right? So if we get to this place where we get our needs list up, and then we go, we attach to these needs, right, and say, I have to have power, or I have to have learning and all this stuff, and you have to do it for me, because now I got a need. I got my fancy needs list. Now you got to contribute to that. That's not good, right? So, because what that becomes is a demand on all these other people. You have to do this for me because I've got this need. And that's a stage in learning too, right? So where we want to get to, there is something about, there's a difference they call out. This is a really beautiful distinction, which... There's a distinction between meeting a need versus connecting with a need. So if we have to have all our needs met at all times, it's just not realistic. It's not going to happen. It's just, you know, we're going to be uncomfortable, we're going to be sad, we're going to be hurt. There's, all of this is going to come up. But if I find the feeling comes and if I can just be aware of what's happening and connect with those needs in this way, then I don't have to meet all my needs all the time. There's a beauty that comes right here, just being aware. And it could be that what I'm aware of is my need for respect, right? And I'm going into the pain of, oh my God, this need is really not being met right now. And it really hurts to notice that. But in doing that and in connecting with that need, something really sweet can actually show up. You know, there can be some natural kindness or empathy or like this mourning of the fact that that need is not being met right now. And that often has this sort of dissolving effect where my being just relaxes actually. You know, the natural compassion shows up. So,
well, it's nice to know what's wrong almost. It's like, oh,
yeah.
It's not just coming from nowhere. Or
exactly.
It's like, oh, that's what's wrong. Okay, now I know why I'm feeling these
exactly.
things. And it doesn't seem so like...
Yeah.
It doesn't just hit you over the head without a reason.
Exactly. It like. And it takes, like, you know, Judy was alluding to, it takes like creating the space, right? Because I'm going, I'm checking all my different apps and messages, and I'm doing this and that, and then it's like to start meeting this, to enter this sort of realm of my experience, takes a lot of slowing down, and often meeting uncomfortable things, you know, because I've been avoiding it for most of my day. I've been drinking coffee, I've been checking out, and then when I turn around and I start slowing down to feel, it's like really uncomfortable. But doing it in a group like this often helps, because just the group presence really helps facilitate this.
And Sunil, it seems that if you are connecting with the need, you can sort of see, oh, I've been like looking for this need in all the wrong places. And maybe I need a different way.
Right, yes.
To try to.
Yeah, so right. It's sort of this, I think what I'm hearing is like this sort of awareness, that the freedom that comes up, because before, I'm guessing what you're saying is, you're attached to a way of meeting that need.
Yeah.
And that's the strategy. And so you are so held up, oh, this person's, or something is going to, this is what I want and need, right? We're holding on to the strategy and it's frustrating us. And when we drop down through whatever and get to the need, this relaxes. And then we have the awareness, oh my God, this is what I want. I don't want to make this poor person suffer. Not that I'm saying you're doing that, but but you know, it's like this is what I really want. And I was trying to get that from this person. And then this can relax. And then the opportunities of how else can I meet that need can open up. But it's that beautiful awareness that shows up. You know. Dasha, you had something?
Yeah, because I don't often have the beautiful event that you're talking about.
The beautiful event?
Yeah, that the options.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
comes up for me, it's like, okay, here's a feeling, here's a real need, and then there's this dead end of like, now what?
Now what? And so the process that I've been following is I actually sit with, there's a little pack of cards I have,
And on every card, there's a feeling. There's about this many of them, and there's another stack of cards of just needs. And I actually sit with those things when I can't tolerate my feelings. And I actually go one by one, what am I feeling, what am I feeling? And usually I'll have a whole bunch of feeling cards open. And once that's done, then I'll try to connect with what are the needs underneath that. And then when I do that, it just opens up in a way. So it's a practice. How do I...
So in that moment, you talk about opening up and beautiful and options. Like for me, that's often a dead end.
Yeah.
Like, I know what the need is. What do I do with that knowledge now?
Yeah, there's a knowing what the need is, and then there is entering the energy of the need, the connecting with the need, which is slightly different. I'm hoping we can explore that later on, but it really is about listening and following and entering this sort of energy, and that is a place where there's a certain amount of information that then causes us to see things slightly differently.
Is
so
that
there
about
is
the strategy?
Sorry?
Is that about the strategy that does?
No, it's kind of like we know ourselves. We know what's going on, right? Is that what you're saying, Dasha?
One would hope so.
No, we learn, yeah.
Well, we get to that place, it's often, you know, it's a new information. Because you get so caught up in strategies, like being doing everything else, and then you drop into the need.
Yeah.
And then it's that deeper level, and it's like, oh, this is what it's about. But then what do you do with that information?
So what I do is I stay with that information and wait and listen and feel. And usually what happens is it drops, keeps dropping. And then there may be times when I'm like, I don't want to do this. It's too uncomfortable. It could be that I go into some sort of hole where I'm like, this is too much.
Yeah.
I don't want this. And then, but see, like, it goes back to that thing where every action is a need. It's to meet a need. So even coming out of it and saying, you know what, the kindest thing for me right now is to not go so deep into this thing right now. I really want to care for myself. And I'm
so
going to be gentle.
You set it aside, you write it down, do you come back to it later? Because again, it becomes this thing like, oh, this is too much, I'm just going to drink some coffee and
right.
come out.
And so then the strategies, right? How do we meet this thing that's really hard for us? So now we are talking about what are the strategies to do that. So it could be I get a friend to sit with me, I go to a group and get people to hold the space with me, which I find, and I do this. I'll call a friend up and say, this is really hard for me to face alone. And having a supportive presence, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
right? Look at you. Then it's just like something, and then it's safer to go in there and face that and experience that. Does that make sense?
And also, just
yeah.
because you have a need doesn't mean that it has to be met.
Yes. Right. But the process of connecting, right? So
you
this
have to
is
be connected to that need, but it's not
no.
practical to
yeah.
need that.
But what I'm hearing Dasha say is not about meeting the need, but even connecting with that need. What I'm hearing the question is, okay, I'm connecting with the need, now what?
Mm-hmm.
And so, did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Hey, Liz.
In my practice, for me, that jump has been one moving from a logical sense to a felt sense.
Yeah.
And there's a really big difference between like making connections in your mind and feeling it in your body. And the only way I've been able to start shifting forward and making real transitions is to sit with it every single day after day after day. And what happens, and what I'm hearing you saying in a different way, is then it's bringing in compassion and wanting to love ourselves, and for me at least, wanting to love myself and heal myself. And when I can identify the need, what starts to manifest on its own is myself meeting that need and offering, if it's love that I need, then even if I can't find it within myself, then maybe I'll think about my teacher Thich Nhat Hanh or the Buddha and how much love they have for every living being and let that come into my heart. Sometimes I can bring it for myself. If it's safety, I can tell myself over and over again that I'm safe and I'm an adult and I can protect myself. And moving through the felt sense of it is actually starting, for me at least, to meet parts of those needs. We can't meet them all, but meet parts of those needs from our own love and our own self-compassion, the way we might, like,
yeah.
try to help a child with their own needs.
Thank you for naming that.
So this connecting with the need, which you're going to do after we come back from our commercial break,
is the really important, thank you. This is the felt sense, right? So there is a way of connecting with the need where I'm like, oh, I'm feeling lonely, I want companionship. That seems logical, and that's like a logical way of connecting with the need. But then there is a different place we can go to if we choose, which is the felt sense. So to me, this is like the messy, but also the rich place to go is when we are dropping into the feeling place. And here, we may need resources, you know, calling in our teachers, calling in our friends, calling in a higher power, whatever works for you, going for a walk, nature, support to be with these things that are so difficult and scary to feel. And like the word compassion is often, sometimes it's like just sitting there with something so difficult and realizing, you know, what I want right now and need is some kindness, you know, and some just to be okay and to be gentle with myself, you know. And that is a lot. That can be a lot, you know. So, but this is also a practice. It's not a theory. You know, all this stuff in theory form is one thing. It's two-dimensional. But then when we start entering our stuff, you know, that's when it comes alive and we practice. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments or anything before we start the commercials?
I have a question. I want to make sure that I understand the needs right, because for me, I see, because I'm feeling vulnerable, like I'm looking for safety or protection or something like that, and the needs, would those be needs that are not on this list, or is
yes.
that like a
yes.
feeling that I'm associated? Okay.
No, I think these are just the starting blocks for our needs and feelings. Really.
You sent out other lists that are like pages long.
Yeah, the other one is like 3 pages, and I thought, like, that's not a good place for everyone to start looking. You'd be like, where? You know, like, where are my feelings? So I think there's a lot more.
Okay,
and
I just want to make sure I
yeah.
understood the distinction.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you're feeling vulnerable and having a need for safety right now.
Yes.
What's it like to say that?
I've been doing this work for so long that it's pretty normal for me at this point, but that's only because I've been dedicating like 99% of my life to going into that recently. So, and I can see where it comes from pretty easily, you know, I'm going through a lot of medical stuff and healing stuff and had an appointment today. So even though I'm really present in my body, I'm feeling vulnerable, which I think limited some of my other feelings that other people were feeling that I normally would, like connection and things like that, because I'm not quite sure that I want to make that connection because of vulnerability, but I'm open to it at the same time.
So I think what I'm hearing is that you value connection, and right now you're in a vulnerable place where you're feeling a little protective and need a little space. Yeah. And you're also saying that you really value this work? This is the work you've been doing intensely recently? Or
it's
just
not through NVC specifically, but, you know, I went through a lot of trauma and abuse as a child, and I've been focusing on healing from that, and the process of diving into that and, like, pulling apart those feelings that we have, like, buried our whole lives is similar, and I think that's why I'm so drawn to this practice, because, what you're saying is there's just, like, little gems that I'm like, oh, wow. Like,
Yeah, and so I relate it to, if I'm hearing you right, is I love this practice for giving me a human way to meet all the stuff, which is non-logical, which is kind of, who was saying, like, it's sometimes it's like, why am I feeling this? And it's like, where do I even start to even put my arms around what I'm feeling? This has been what's been helpful for me. So when I sit with my cards, and I have, finally at the end, I have a whole bunch of cards sitting there, and I actually feel more connected with what I'm feeling. That's even the first step. But it takes a lot of effort to slow down and do that. So when we come back from the break, we're going to get into a bigger exercise. Hopefully somebody will volunteer an incident that happened. And then what we're going to do is try to guess what feelings they're having around that incident. And then try to connect, once we've connected to a certain degree with their feelings, try to connect with their needs, and see what happens. Yeah? So we have tea, and we have some munchies over there, and the restrooms are downstairs. And I'll ring the bell in 10 minutes, so... Huh? Yeah, oh yeah, when you come back?
Yeah, when we come back. And do you, are you going to send out emails? Should we make an email list?
Yeah, probably. Sorry, miss.
Are you guys considering doing a group for the...
A regular ongoing group?
Is there one that exists?
No, but we could start one.
I'd be interested to do, although I have to...